This is me, Fran, on Bicycle Talk. I'll be here for the next hour here on WHUS 91.7 FM. Ron is elsewhere doing some work. He's fighting the good fight and, you know, going out there to make a buck. And big shout out to him. But he gave me some stuff to talk about, and I'll be very happy to talk about that with you. All right. So Bicycle Talk, as Ron would say, is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or would like to contribute information to the show, you can text at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. Or you can email me today at naturecyclist1128@gmail.com. That's naturecyclist, N-A-T-U-R-E, cyclist, 1128, that's my birthday, @gmail.com, because that's what I've got open right now. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. So here we go. On a positive side, here's a shout out to the Angel Ride. It's an annual event that raised money for the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp in Ashford. It was last weekend. Keep up the good work. If you want to get more information about the Angel Ride, you can go to www.angelride.org. So that's super cool. All right. Ron's rant of the week. So here's Ron's rant of the week. He gave it to me, and I'll rant for him. So cyclists who lose it with drivers of cars and trucks. Oh, so save the fight for another day, as you're only making it worse for the rest of us. So what happens? So sometimes what happens is you'll be riding your bicycles and somebody will do something that upsets you. Like they'll cut you off. They'll give you the finger. They'll cold roll you. They'll do nasty things to you. And your impetus is you want to yell at them back. You want to say something mean. You want to, give the signifier to them. And that's actually it's really a bad idea to do those things, because, you know, remember what Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. That's really, really good advice for pretty much anyone ever. So this is one of those situations. If the person is already angry, you're just going to incite their anger more if you continue to engage. So here's Bicycling Magazine has some suggestions of things you could do. You could introduce yourself and put your hand out to shake, although if you're going by them, you may not want to do that. You may, and you know, if you're just riding by them, just smile and wave, you know, if they're not going to be able to, you know, take your hand. If you rolled through a stop sign or did something even remotely wrong, apologize, own it. It's okay. You know, we make mistakes. You know, sometimes you have to make snap decisions. Sometimes you'll get up to a stop sign and there'll be nobody there, and it can be trickier to brake. And so if you're a motorist, I want you to understand this. When you're riding a bicycle, stopping is not the easiest thing in the world. I mean, you can do it, but it's easier if you don't have to stop. And in fact, there are some states where they are going to make laws where if a bicycle is approaching a stop sign and it's safe in all directions, the bicyclist can roll through the stop sign, because when you clip out or when you stop pedaling and brake, there you have more potential for falling at that point. And falling at an intersection is really that's really a bad thing. I mean, because you're very exposed, you're in the middle of that intersection. But if you're in a state where rolling through a stop sign is not allowed, and especially if you see cars anywhere near you, you really have to stop. And I've been called out by cars for rolling through stop signs. And I admit that if there's nobody around, I've been known to do that. If I'm with people, if I'm in my Thread City Cyclers or my Cycling Concepts gear, I will tend not to do things like that. I'll try to, you know, follow the letter of the law. Really, I should be following the letter of the law all the time. But I do want to point out that it is difficult for cyclists to stop. And if you can help us to not have to stop by motioning us through something like that, that's not necessarily a bad thing. However, if the person's upset and you did something wrong, even if it's stopping at a stop sign, you should apologize. All right. Sometimes what'll happen is you'll get into a discussion with the driver about an incorrect belief. like the driver might say, you shouldn't be riding two abreast. Why are you taking up the whole road? And in the state of Connecticut, for example, it's legal to ride two abreast. But show some empathy and say it can be frustrating to wait to pass. What usually happens is if we're riding two abreast and we hear a car behind us, one of us yells out car back and we go single file to let the car pass. That's what we're supposed to do. You have to also remember, cars, that your cars are very quiet. If you've got a hybrid and you have an electric car and it's in electric mode, we can't hear you. Also, even if you don't, cars are very quiet. We don't always hear you until you're on top of us. Another reason we don't hear you is because for safety reasons, we are wearing helmets. The wind blows through helmets and wind is noisy. So we don't always hear you in that way. So that can be an issue. So just realize we may not always get single file. And if you try to come around us too fast and you come around us on a blind curve, or you come around us and there's an oncoming car, you're risking everybody's life, especially your own. It's not a good idea. Better to wait those 3 seconds to pass us safely than die or have other people die. Cite the bottom line. It's extremely dangerous for cyclists out here when people lose their tempers. Two cars can have a minor fender bender, but if you and I collide, I could die. It's not worth it for either of us. So if you're thinking as a car that we shouldn't be on the road, yes, we should be. That we are vehicles. We should be on the road. We should not be on the sidewalk. We don't have to be on the rail trails all the time. There are laws protecting us as vehicles on the road. So if you say we shouldn't be on the road, you've got the law wrong. Cyclists should be on the road. That is where we belong. We try our best to follow the laws of the road. And what you might want to look at is your level of patience and why you're getting so angry at a person who's just out, who may be using transportation to get to and from work, or is out there for pleasure, to reduce their stress and also to improve their health. Why are you getting so angry at a person like that? That's not on them. That's on you. So think about it. This is a fellow human who is doing something to help their health, help their life, or just getting here from here to there. Why does that make you so angry? That's really something to look at. And is it really worth getting so angry over? That is an example of sweating the small stuff. A person on a bicycle is not trying to do anything to hurt you. They're just riding their bicycle. So take a look at that. The other thing is, you know, if it's going nowhere and the person is starting to scare you, better to be, alive than right. Get out. Just leave the interaction, because you don't know what that person is going to do. And you tell them, you know, you have to take off because you hope that the interaction is going to happen on better terms. It's okay. You know, if you have a situation where you feel like you have to be right, it's not worth being right. It's really much more worth it for everybody to be safe and to be happy. It's not worth fighting with someone. If you are a cyclist, try not to lose it with drivers. Try to use advocacy. One of the things that I like to do, and I have a wonderful example in my friend Amber Pierce, the bike racer. When I'm riding my bike with her, she waves to everyone. When you wave to people, sometimes you get treats. I waved to somebody in the last week or two and they smiled and they gave me a big thumbs up, like, go get them for being on the road. So that happens sometimes. If you smile and wave at people, then they see you as a person, not just a vehicle that's in their way. Making human interactions is really important. There are cyclists like Dave Zabriskie who's trying to help people to humanize cycling. These are really important things to do. We want people to expect us. We want to respect the rules of the road, and we want to share the road with vehicles. So, um, So we have some other interesting things going on. Before too long, we're going to get a phone call, and Sylvia Ompu of Bolton is going to call, and we're going to talk about the Rolling Museum and some things about Hop River Trail that they're going to extend. The Hop River Trail, so that it's going to go from Manchester, and you're going to be able to get to Manchester. We're going to talk about these different things. So anyway, when we get that phone call, then we'll talk about that with Sylvia, because she's got a lot of good information for us. So here's an interesting piece. Here's 10 things cyclists with drivers knew. And this is, again, from Bicycling Magazine. And this gets back to some of the things about the rant that we were talking about earlier. And about sharing the road. So this is kind of a share the road day. And also we'll talk about that rail trail when Sylvia calls. But anyway, so here are 10 things we wish you knew as cyclists. So we can feel invisible sometimes. Sometimes we get cut off by someone who doesn't even know you're there. I almost got killed last year. And you say, well, why are you still riding your bicycle? Yeah, I'm still riding my bicycle because I'm still riding my bicycle. So hold that thought, because we very excitingly have a phone call right now. So I'm going to take this phone call. And let's see if I can do this. And then we'll talk to Sylvia, and that will be very exciting. All right. Okay. Hello, Sylvia. Are you there?
Yes, this is Sylvia. Is it Fran?
Hi. Yes, this is Fran. You're live on Radio Naturopath. Oh, my goodness. Let's try that again. You're live on Bicycle Talk right now. Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for calling. Okay. So today we were going to talk about... We're going to talk about the extension of the rail trail, right? And the Rolling Museum?
The Rolling Museum.
Okay.
Yes.
So do tell me about the Rolling Museum. What is that? What's it all about? What's going on?
Okay, the Rolling Museum is an event planned as part of National Trails Day and Connecticut Trails Day, and it will take place on Saturday, June 3rd, this Saturday.
Uh-huh.
We'll start rolling at approximately 1 p.m. Uh-huh. And we're asking people to come at about 12:30 p.m. The start is at Bolton Notch.
Okay.
Access point to the rail trail, which is at the end of I-384. It's a little tricky.
Yes.
I would suggest people go on the Connecticut Trails Day website and look for this event. It's the only Connecticut Trails Day event that's actually on a bike. And we will be traveling along the Hop River Trail. And we will start at Bolton Notch and go down to the Andover Historical Society, which is at the covered bridge.
Uh-huh.
The society will be open, their building. And along the route, we are going to highlight natural and historical features with local experts who will be at designated stops and provide riders with information on everything from geological features to historical events in the area, to parts of the rail trail infrastructure that are very interesting. For example, places built so that cattle could go underneath the rail trail.
Wow.
To bridges that are original to the mid-1800s build of the rail trail. Mm-hmm. To things like Rochambeau and his troops that went through and stayed in this area. So it's a lot of very interesting tidbits that will be provided by local historians and experts in the various areas. It's a self-guided tour. Otherwise, we'll provide a map with all the stops and information on each stop. And it's 6 miles on a gentle downgrade, followed by 6 miles on a gentle upgrade
right.
to the way back to the Bolton Notch parking lot.
Right.
We'll provide some snacks and beverages in Andover at the turnaround point for mm-hmm. those who need. And ultimately, the whole goal of it is really to expose people to this amazing resource that we have in Bolton, Andover, Coventry, through to Willimantic and beyond, and to make people aware of it.
Yeah.
So we are sponsored, and we'll have some information about the East Coast Greenway, which is part of this a trail network. Also, the Bolton Women's Club and the Andover Historical Society are all involved. So this is a community effort in pulling to get this together, and it's coordinated by Bike Walk Bolton. And we are a group of residents from Bolton who want to advocate for a safer cycling and walking and running in our town. And part of that can happen through the rail trail, which is an amazing resource. And it surprises me that there are many people in Bolton who live in in other towns around that have actually never been on the trail. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it surprises me. So I'm hopeful that this will help encourage people to get out and explore it, and then they'll go back on their own and take advantage of it.
Yeah. It is a fantastic trail. I mean, I've been using that rail trail for many years, and in the last, I guess, year or two, they improved the trail. That section first of all, they put in that wonderful bridge in Andover, and if you haven't seen the bridge in Andover, it's worth just driving there to go on the bridge. I get excited every time I ride across that bridge. And I remember when they put the bridge up, it was such an exciting thing, because I think the bridge was being lifted at 2 inches an hour. And everybody came out to watch, and it was really cool. It was really something when they put that bridge in.
Quite an engineering feat.
Yes.
To get that, you know, it was prefabricated, and then to put that in place with cranes. Yes, the trail. I mean, I've been living in the Bolton Notch area since 1990. And in those early days, the trail wasn't improved. And,
right.
It was a mess.
Yes.
It was strewn with garbage. It was not level. It was washed out in places. It just wasn't a very nice place to be.
Right.
And the Army Corps of Engineers came in and redid the Bolton Notch area, and other groups have done other parts of it. And it's a stunning resource. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's like I said, in the last couple of years. In fact, when you left the bridge, first of all, the bridge wasn't there when I started using it.
No.
There was no bridge. And then they put the bridge in. I don't remember what year. Was that 2011, 2012?
Around there, yes.
Yeah, that's when they put the bridge in. And then even coming from the bridge for a long time, when you were continuing west towards Bolton Notch, it was single track there. And it was freaky single track, because it was a tiny little non-grassy spot with a lot of bumps in it, a lot of roots and rocks, and it was freaky, and it didn't feel very safe to ride on. And then in the last year or two, they widened it, and they made it beautiful, hard-packed stone dust, and it's fantastic. Yeah. And it's like that now, I think, almost from Hop River Road in Columbia. And then it's still kind of rough going back from Hop River Road in Columbia to Kings Road there, but it's better than it was. And I'm hoping at some point that's going to, do you have any idea when that's going to be taken care of?
I'm not 100% sure, but I know that it's better last year than it was the year before.
Yes.
They did some widening. They've put down bluestone and most of it, or some like gravel / sand in parts closer to Willimantic, but it's totally rideable.
Yes.
I use my road bike on it all the time. So
fantastic.
It's really very viable. But just the things that you can, when you start to learn about the things that have happened there, and we're even going to focus a little bit on the flora. I mean, the amount of wildflowers along that trail.
Yes.
You just take a moment to look. They're just absolutely beautiful.
It's really beautiful. I actually have... if you go to Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, Radio Naturopath on Facebook, I have a cover photo. You know, I have a little picture of me, and then behind me is my cover photo. My cover photo is a trillium, birth root. And I took that photo on the Hop River Trail.
Yeah.
So that's one of the flowers that grows along there. Of course, the trillium's probably done by now, I think, because trillium usually comes out in early May. But do you know some of the species that you see along that rail trail?
Yes. Well, trillium is one of them, and they have the very rare red trillium
along
the trail. Which
that's
is,
what I have. That's the photo I have.
So you don't see those in too many other places. The Jack in the Pulpit is one flower that you see. The Lady Slipper is out right now.
Oh, my goodness.
And, I'm not sure. Hopefully there'll be some left by the this coming week. You have to, you have to slow down and look for them. They're not everywhere.
Yes.
All sorts of different kinds of violets and ferns and mosses, different kinds of rhododendron and mountain laurel.
Yes.
There's all sorts of flowers there. It's amazing. But usually they're the first things that come out in the spring. So we're a little bit behind the peak time for flowers. But there are other highlights on the trail. There's a watershed divide that we are going to go by. There's a glacial erratic that we're highlighting.
Yes.
A wolf tree. So people just have to come and find out more about them, and they can. They're located on the map mm-hmm. with brief descriptions about them. We're also going to feature some other spur options for people to do at another time. There's the Squaw's Cave. We'll talk a little bit about that, and an expert on that will be available. And up to the Bolton Heritage Farm along the Rose Trail, something to try another day. The old burial ground in Andover is at just near the covered bridge, and that's another short little walk or ride up from the trail that people can go to on another day perhaps when they come back to explore a little bit more. So we're very excited to highlight all these different features. There's so much to see there.
That's great. I'm so excited. So Sylvia, it's happening at 1 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, June 3rd.
Yep.
And you can park at there's a little parking lot at Bolton Notch, right?
Yeah, there's a parking lot at Bolton Notch. You have to be going westward on the very beginning of I-384, where uh-huh. Route 6 and 44 merge.
Yes.
And you're going westward, and before you get to the Route 44 exit, there will be signs, we'll have cones.
You have good.
Make a very hard right turn.
Yes.
About 180-degree turn down a little slope and into the parking lot. You'll see an East Coast Greenway tent there where you need to register because this is a Connecticut Trails Day event.
Yes.
You can also register online in the Connecticut Trails Day site, and the map for how to get there is also on the Connecticut Trails Day site.
Great.
Website. And once you register, we'll have a few minutes of information before everybody starts rolling in small groups. We'll give a little bit of bike safety information from a trained cycle safety person. Also give a little bit of information about the train history at the Notch.
Is his name Dave Waldberger?
His name is Dave Waldberger.
Okay.
And he knows a lot, so we're just going to be available to provide some safety information. Helmets are mandatory.
Yes, of course.
So please, everybody, even though you're on the rail trail, you need to have a helmet on. And we'll have people go in small groups.
Yes.
And stop at the sites for however long they want. And some will have speakers there to give more information, and some will just be marked with cones and numbers to match your map.
Well, this should be loads of fun.
Oh, I think so, too. And, it's not a race by any means. It's
no.
A relaxed ride through the woods.
And is it rain or shine?
It's heavy rain will postpone to the same time the next day.
Okay.
Otherwise, even in a light drizzle, we'll go.
Because you're not riding fast, and you are protected on the rail trail. And
absolutely.
This is actually something that would not be perfectly fine to do if it was lightly drizzling or foggy or something.
Yes, absolutely.
That Sometimes wouldn't matter.
The woods are even more beautiful in the rain.
Oh yeah, exactly. And everything is so. One of the highlights of one of the things that's really nice about. I know people are upset because we've been getting so much rain, mm-hmm. and there is a prediction of possible rain on the weekend. Although. Yeah, I think Saturday.
Looks good right now.
I know Saturday. Saturday's the better day at the moment. I think we're gonna make this one. But the cool thing is everything's really lush right now.
Yeah.
And what better when you get on the rail trail? There's a lot of greenery there. So I'm gonna ask you a little practical question. How buggy is it on the rail trail right now?
If when you're moving a little bit. It's actually fine, and I've
yeah.
been out there. I was out there this morning, and I didn't see any bugs.
Okay.
So I really don't think it'll be a problem.
And you didn't get bitten by anything?
I got bitten by nothing.
And if you're concerned about getting bitten by stuff, you could wear some bug spray.
Yep.
Or you know,
put on some long sleeves.
That's one of the concerns I have because I do like to use the rail trail. The rail trail in the autumn is my favorite time to use it, but I will use it sometimes. Any time of year, I do. Find that the rail trails get buggy, but there's things you can do about that. You can do wonderful bug sprays. There are wonderful natural bug sprays you can do. You can even spray the bug spray on your helmet. You don't just have to spray it on your skin.
Yep, or on your clothing.
Yes, you got it. And that's probably an even better place to spray it because it'll stick more.
Yeah.
Then it'll come off your skin more readily.
Yeah. Well, I just find that when you're on a bike generally, I know we're asking people to stop at different sites, but as soon as you move, there's never...
Yeah.
Very rarely a bug following you.
Yeah. Well, I find that there's roughly, there's a mile per hour. that's the bug threshold. And that mile per hour speed is about 7 miles an hour. Once you get down to 7 miles an hour below, then the bugs can find you. And once you get faster than that, then they can't find you so much. That's my rough.
Wow. Don't think it's going to be a big issue, especially if there's a little bit of sun shining. They'll be great.
It's going to be so gorgeous there. I'm just saying, if people are concerned about that, they bring some bug repellent. So this sounds like a terrific event. That anyone would enjoy it. And it's family friendly because it's not fast. It's a great thing to bring the kids to.
Absolutely. Yeah. The only thing that we have is that we no dogs.
Okay.
I know some people bring dogs along with their bikes, but we're not supposed to have those on any of the Connecticut Trail Day events. But I encourage people to go to the Connecticut Trail Day website and look for us. I'm starting at Bolton Notch, and it's the Rolling Museum. And then you can, even if you want to, you can advance register. That would be helpful for us, but it's not mandated. If you just turn up, you can come along. And we're going to be distributing the brand new East Coast Greenway trail maps. They've just been printed, and each participant will be able to have a map for their future use of the whole trail east of the Connecticut River, basically. So
that's great.
It'll be a great thing to have.
It's very exciting. So Sylvia, there's some. Aren't you involved in some other things involving the multi-use paths in Bolton, Manchester, and Coventry, the Bond Commission, that kind of thing?
We are Bike Walk Bolton, which is co-chaired with Barbara Modio and myself. We're a group that are trying to advocate for safe cycling and walking and running in Bolton. Mm-hmm. And part of our advocacy is for the rail trail and the Hop River Trail itself. So we have a stewardship group that's set up, and we have different families and individuals and couples who care for this to help us keep it clean. So we have different groups sign up each month to go through and pick up any garbage that's left along the trail. We're also advocating for lighting in the tunnel at Bolton Notch.
Nice.
That's something that is really needed, because in a bright sunny day and you hit that dark tunnel and it's your eyes have to adjust, so it would be best to have some lighting there. And there is lighting further down on the hop when it goes under Route 6 in a tunnel that's actually even shorter.
Yes.
So we're advocating for that. We're keeping also people aware of the new trail that's coming up along 384 that's going to connect the Highland Park Market exit on 384 to the Notch. And if anybody's driven on 384, they started digging on May 15th, and they've cut down a lane on 384, and they're clearing the trees right now. So it's so exciting for that. So we're keeping people informed about that and, where to advocate for that. That will be a huge section of off-trail that allow people from, Willimantic and beyond to ride entirely off-trail into Hartford. So it's really exciting and open up multimodal commuting and commuting opportunities for people who would prefer not to ride on the roads.
Right.
Have very little infrastructure for bike safety.
Yeah.
And we are also hoping to and advocating strongly for the missing link. And that is the section along the very, at Bolton Notch, between the Hop River Trail and Route 44 going east. Right now, there is no legal way for cyclists and pedestrians to access the Hop River Trail along Route 44. Coming from Coventry into Bolton and then towards Manchester. And that was something that unfortunately happened when I-384 was built. That used to be accessible by something other than the motorist. And we want to, we are advocating for trying to get that missing link fixed.
Uh-huh.
So that there's safe access and legal access. And, build it and they will come.
Yes.
We are also part of 12 sites in the state of Connecticut where there is a trail counter, and Barbara Modio has been trained, and we have a trail counter right at the Bolton Notch, and it was installed in the end of December, and it counts the people that are using the trail, and it's very interesting to see how much usage that trail section gets.
Sure.
Even in the month of January, over 1,000 people crossed that counter.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So wait, the trail counter's at Bolton Notch?
It's at Bolton Notch. It's between the parking lot and the tunnel.
Uh-huh.
So it only gets half of the people that come to that parking lot, because if you go left, it won't count you.
Oh.
If you go through the tunnel, which a lot of people avoid because they don't like going in there. It's too dark.
Oh.
for some. So it really only counts about half the people, perhaps, that go to there. And if you walk side by side, it only counts one. So it's probably an underestimate. But we had over 1,000 people, in the notch.
I see. So it's an underestimate. The 1,000 is 100. Oh, that's... Wow.
Isn't that outstanding? So
yes, January.
Yes, in January. I mean, they have some great cross-country ski weather in January.
Right, right.
On the trail for a few limited days.
Yeah.
But people use the trail all year round.
Yeah, they do.
It's fine to ride and walk and run on that anytime.
Yeah.
But once the trail gets connected up 384 to the notch, I can see that usage going through the roof.
Oh, for sure.
Think of what's happened to the Farmington Valley Trail and the number of people on that.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Once you make these connections, it's amazing how the usage goes up.
So let me get this straight. There's going to be a piece of the rail trail that comes off Bolton Notch that heads towards Manchester and then ultimately to Hartford?
Yes. I mean, it's not part of the rail trail. It's part of the new multi-use path. And if you drive along 384 now, you can see a trail along the south side.
That's right.
Between exits 1 and 3.
That's right. And it's paved.
It's paved.
Yes.
Yes. So this new section, they're building it right now. It currently goes up to Highland Park Market and a little bit beyond.
Yes.
They're building it from there to Finley right now. That's along Camp Meeting Road.
Yes.
And they just started May 15th connecting from Finley Street to Bolton Notch.
So I could, if I wanted to do the Expo Wheelman time trial, I could warm up. I could park somewhere. I don't know if I would ride from home because that's way too much of a warm up. But I could park somewhere before Bolton Notch, and I could ride from Bolton Notch to Camp Meeting Road.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you're at Route 85 in Manchester,
mm-hmm.
which then you could. That's where the Expo Wheelman Time Trial is.
Wow. Yep. So October 2018, it'll be done.
Oh, my. So in a couple of years.
Year and a half. Not even.
A year and a half. Oh, and I bet there'll be a fanfare then.
Yes, we'll definitely have a ribbon cutting at that event.
That will be exciting because, that's the time of year I really like to use the rail trail a lot, in October, November. Those are my favorite months to use it.
And it'll connect with a commuter parking lot. If people are aware, at the very end of 384, there is a commuter parking lot there, and there's also a Peter Pan bus service into Hartford for commuters.
Nice.
So, it'll provide people with an opportunity to basically ride a part of the route and get on a bus and get into Hartford, or, vice versa, however they plan it. But it can become a real commuter option as well for multimodal or just cycling alone. But so it's connected to that commuter lot, which is great. And there are a number of great resources right there, too. There are three restaurants right at that, near that commuter lot. So people can come park there, ride along the Hop River Trail or the East Coast Greenway in multiple directions now, or mountain bike ride, whatever they want on the trails, and then, go out and have sandwiches, Subway, or there's a Thai restaurant there, or there's Georgina's. So there's lots of eating options after you exercise.
Right.
So, Bolton has a lot there, and right now it's a little bit hidden because it's not in full view of the Hop, but once that trail is connected, it'll become much closer to those resources.
Right. And isn't Shady Glen's just down the road there, too?
Yeah, Shady Glen is down Route 44.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
It's a couple miles.
Right. Oh, okay.
Off that trail.
Yeah.
Soon-to-be trail.
Right. Oh, that's so great. So you're getting a lot of stuff going on.
Yes. A lot of great things happening.
Yeah.
And so we're hopefully going to make people more aware of that. And the new map that's coming out has the pathway noted. It's to be completed. It's in a dashed line, but you can see exactly where it's going to go. So the new East Coast Greenway map. So we'll hand those out on Saturday.
Wow. So that's great. What an exciting event. So there's a whole bunch of things. There's more trail being built. There's going to be more connections being made. And yep. you're going to be able to get along. You're going to be able to go places on a bicycle or even go for hikes or when it's snowing, cross-country skiing. There'll just be that much more trail and a lot more options to travel. Along that rail trail. I just love the idea that I just can't wait for the day when all the rail trails are connected, when you can stay on the trail on the Hop River and then it'll connect to the airline trail. That's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, there's just one little piece, you know, that's on some very back roads, except for one tiny piece on a little bit of Route 6.
Yes.
But, you know, now it's, with the bridge opening last spring.
Yes. We need the other one, the one from Kings. It needs to go from Kings Road to Mackey's, that section.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know that that's rideable yet.
Just one little piece. But now working for these, and I know I profoundly feel that the more people that are using these facilities and understand their benefit, they will begin to advocate for them.
Yes.
And, you know, that's important. People who like them and use them, it's all about good health and exercise and being outside and all good things.
Well, I think opening that bridge in Willimantic was key. The bridge in Willimantic, and then the paved trail at Riverside Park there. That's incredible that you can take it to Mackey's, and then one day I hope you can go from Mackey's. Then you'll be able to get through, and they have to fix that bridge there,
and then you'll
be able to get to Kings Road, and then the airline trails and the Hop River Trail will be connected. That will be tremendous.
It'll be tremendous. And you know what it'll bring to our local economies.
Yes.
People. I mean, you look at that restaurant on Farmington Trail, the Hop. It's the Red Riding Hood.
Yes.
They have ice cream and lunch, and, you know, and they even have bike racks. I mean, Willimantic, they have bike racks, and that place is packed.
Well, one of the things that Ron's trying to advocate for is to get the airline trail technically to go down Main Street in Willimantic, because Willimantic keeps putting in more cafes and restaurants and stuff. They've got all kinds of things on Main Street right now, and we want the rail trail to go right by all of these wonderful locations. We've got a cupcake shop. We've got a cupcake for later. We've got not only juice. We've got Espresso and More, the new cafe off on High Street. We've got the Bean and Flour.
Absolutely.
We've got of course, we've got Main Street Cafe, the Willimantic Brew Pub, which and people already use the rail trail to get there.
Oh, so, I know. Well, I mean,
it's fantastic.
A group ride from Pedal Power in Vernon. So
yes.
It's on a spur, the Rockville Spur.
Yes.
They send about 100 people up on a big group ride they have every year to go eat in Willimantic.
Yes.
Along the rail trail. And, you know, I was at the rail trail parking lot at Bolton Notch last fall, and I was just putting maps in the map boxes for the East Coast Greenway, and this guy comes up to me and he said, "Oh, I'd love to take a few maps if that's okay." And I said, "Fine." I said, "Where are you from?" He says, "Oh, I'm from Vermont." He goes, "I'm leading a group of seniors on a bike trip, and we're coming here." And
nice.
I'm doing a scouting thing. And I said, "Oh, you're kidding." He said, "We travel all over and we seek out rail trails, and we're coming down for the weekend." And I'm thinking, "Wow, they're coming from Vermont to Connecticut."
Yeah.
To go riding on the Hop.
Right.
And I thought how wonderful is that?
Well, that means you got to market. You got to market and have
exactly.
a wider field of marketing
because
you know, the bigger and more connected that rail trail is, and the more stuff that's along that rail trail that's accessible, the more use you're going to get.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely, you know, room and space for that.
Yes.
For more people to be
and
on
the
it.
Nice thing about the rail trail, it really lends itself to very beginner cyclists, people who really ride for leisure, to families, to anyone who wants to ride a bicycle. It's not as intimidating as riding on the road.
Yes, and you're not worrying about cars. And
yes.
It gives you time to develop skills
yes.
and confidence to be on a bike. There's not really hills,
right?
On the rail trail, when you the trail along 384, you can start developing your skills for up and down hills too, but in a safe environment. So it's a great place to get started, especially for kids.
Yes,
and it's just a wonderful opportunity for that.
Just an incredible resource. Yeah,
it is. And, you know, there are trikes on that trail. And I have to say, we are working on the accessibility issue. It's an amazing opportunity for people, you know, who need to use a trike for various reasons,
yes.
or even people in wheelchairs,
right.
Especially along the hop, because it's a pretty level grade. And even though it's crushed blue stone, you can be on it. But we're working on the gates.
Yes, the gates. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, there's some gates and boulders. And, you know, the purpose for those are to keep motorized vehicles out of that
right.
area. And, I mean, the reality is, you know, they work for that for the most part. And those who are on, you know, all-terrain vehicles still access it through other points if they really want to.
Yes.
But it reduces the use of it, but primarily just because people are using the trails. And
right.
Motorized vehicles aren't allowed. So we are actually working right now with the East Coast Greenway Group and to widen those access points so that they actually become to code for ADA compliance, which they are not right now.
Right. No. Well, and unfortunately, some cyclists have trouble at those gates.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a couple of spots. There's a couple of crossings where the sand is sketchy
yeah.
there. It's kind
yeah.
of deep and it's yeah, it needs some work.
Yeah, we are actually for our rolling museum going to be placing a few cones on those spots.
And yes.
It would be good for people who aren't really experienced riders to dismount and just walk through.
There's That's just right.
little patches of sand
yes.
usually right by the gates where you were crossing
yeah.
the road. We do have a few road crossings. They're back roads, but people need to be aware that they need to look for cars and
yes.
watch for sand right there. And I think a lot of it's sand that comes off the road from the winter treatments.
Uh-huh.
In those spots. So.
Yeah, that's like two gates that have that issue.
Yeah. But not too much. But we're really grateful the Andover Historical Society. They're going to be opening up their museum, and people can peruse through that and see the beautiful photographs and artifacts from Andover's history there as part of the Rolling Museum. So that's another opportunity for history buffs to stop.
So the Andover Historical Society is near the bridge in Andover on 316?
Yes, it's on our route. It's just on the other side of the bridge. It's right
uh-huh.
next to it.
Okay.
So there's a building there, and
right.
you won't be able to miss it.
Right.
And we'll also have refreshments.
Oh, that's nice.
And water to refill people's water bottles if
yeah.
they like.
Yeah.
And we'll have fruit.
Well, gosh, I'm really excited about this, Sylvia. This is so great.
Well, it is very exciting, and I really hope we get a good turnout.
Yeah. So one more time, the Rolling Museum is going to happen on Saturday, June 1st, yes?
Yes.
And you can park at the... that there's a parking area at Bolton Notch, which you said, and tell me where it's accessible again.
So the parking area, you need to be going west towards Manchester at the very beginning of I-384,
okay.
where Route 6 and 44 merge,
mm-hmm.
going west. And before it turns into the highway, you will see a sign, and it's a boat launch for a little pond, and there's a little parking area, and we will have it signposted with some cones. You need to take a hard right turn down a little road into a parking lot, and that's the access point
right.
at the Hot River Trail at Bolton Notch.
Okay.
And the map is on the Connecticut Trails Day website to get you there. And we start at 1 p.m. We're asking people to arrive at 12:30, and because it's part of the Connecticut Trails Day event, people will need to sign in.
Yes.
And helmets are mandatory.
Yes. All right. Well, gosh, thank you so much for calling in, Sylvia. This is a very exciting event, very exciting developments on connecting up the rail trails. And thank you for all the wonderful work that you're doing along with the rest of Bike Walk Bolton.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And thank you for this opportunity. I hope to see lots of people out there.
Great. Thank you again for calling, Sylvia.
Yep.
And we'll see you on the road.
Yes, absolutely.
Take care, Sylvia. Thanks again.
Yes, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so that was Sylvia Ompu. I hope that some of you will consider checking out the Rolling Museum this weekend at 1 o'clock at that access point on the Hop River Trail. It should be a really fun time. It's a great thing to bring the family to. And this is not a competitive event. It's something to relax and enjoy your bike. I'm excited about the flora that there's going to be you know, people to point out or, you know, at least information to point out the different plants that are along the rail trail. I often enjoy looking at the plants along the rail trail because The rail trails require drainage, so there are usually little drainage areas. There are little, how do you say? Not, I don't like to use the word ditch, but rivers. They're drainage ports alongside the rail trails, and so they tend to be damp, and so you're going to get a lot of water-loving plants along the rail trail, and among them, you get a lot of skunk cabbage, and skunk cabbage is one of the first things that grows, but you're going to tend to get plants that tend to like water, you know, water-loving, tend to like water. So really, really pretty. That's one of the things about the rail trail. The rail trail can be a very healing place to be because there's a lot of green and a lot of foliage. And so it's really beautiful. And this will be a nice community event so that you're supporting your community and you're going to be, you can go with people, you can go with friends, you can go with your family, and you can get to know a treasure, that's just a local treasure that's a real gift to this area. So, all right. So let's finish out with some more stuff. Let me talk about a little bit, and we'll see how far we get. I just wanted to talk about this great ride that I had this weekend, and how nice that was. So one of the things that happened is my father, Myron Storch, passed on December 13th of last year, and his 80th birthday was this past Sunday, May 28th. So. In honor of his 80th birthday, I decided I wanted to ride 80 miles. And I had three friends who rode the entire 80 miles with me. And then I had Ron and Bob Enright, who were able to ride the beginning of the ride but had other commitments, so they didn't ride the whole thing. But I had my friends Beth, Cindy, and Martin ride the entire ride with me. We went on a tremendous ride. It was really beautiful. And, you know, so we were... We got to see some incredible treasures in this area. So I wanted to just remind you of some great places. We decided to ride down to the Devil's Hop Yard, Devil's Hop Yard State Park, which is a gift. It's in East Haddam. And what a beautiful place. There's a road that cyclists like to go on, the Hop Yard Road. It's really fun to ride going towards the river, going south, because it's just this rolling descent, rolling curvy descent, and it's just great fun to let it roll down there. But it's also possible to stop in the Devil's Hop Yard because the park itself is really quite lovely. There's picnic areas to stop at. There's a waterfall when you go to the picnic area. It's really something to see. I mean, it's really worth, I mean, when we go, we tend to just put our heads down and go. But that picnic area is just beautiful, and with the waterfall there, it's something lovely to stop at. I did look at the history once of why it's called the Devil's Hop Yard. There were some varying thoughts about that. I don't know that it's because the devil showed up there, but or if it was a natural formation. It's kind of a funny name for what's really a gorgeous place. So if you look. There is some there is some thought about why it was called the Devil's Hop Yard. There's a wide variety of stories, and a lot of them seem to be more fiction than why it's called that. So here's one that says there was a malt house on George Griffin's farm near a small tributary of the 8 Mile River that was called the Malt House Brook, and it was abandoned prior to 1814. But when it was operated, Griffin grew hops there. He grew hops because he had a malt house where he brewed beer, and that's why it was called the Hop Yard. But see, when I think of Devil's Hop Yard, I think that the devil is there and he's hopping around and he's doing mischief. But no, it's just that, you know, somebody was growing hops there. And hops are a lovely herb, by the way. Hops are a lovely calming herb that if you use hops as part of a calming tincture or tea, it's actually what we think of as a nerving. It's something that can calm you down. And so there was a hop yard there. And So the theories about why it's called the Devil's Hop Yard, there is a landowner named Dibble, and Dibble is a local name. And then there are some supernatural explanations for the naturally occurring potholes near the falls, so that the devil hopped around and made holes in the area, and that's why it's called the Hop Yard. And there's actually, if you go to the Devil's Hop Yard, which I recommend doing, there's a sign there, and that talks about it. It talks about the potholes on the falls, and then and also the fact that that guy Griffin grew hops there and was brewing beer there. And the most widely circulated legend tells of the many times Satan has been seen sitting on a huge boulder at the top of Chapman's Falls, those pretty falls I talked about, playing his violin. So you think the devil went down to Georgia? Well, guess what? The devil went down to East Haddam, playing his violin while the evil witches of Haddam stirred a hell broth for a charm of powerful trouble in the cauldron-like potholes formed in the rocks below. That's pretty funny. Another story reports that a lone traveler, while walking through the Hop Yard one night, saw some weird, shapeless forms leaping from ledges and trees near the falls. Later, these phantoms accosted the terrified man, who then beat a hasty retreat to the nearest tavern, where he related the experience to anyone who would listen. Some say the traveler had spent too much time at the tavern before he took his ramble through the Hop Yard. So, Devil's Hop Yard, we think that the Hop Yard, could be two things. It could be that this guy Griffin grew hops there and brewed beer, and that the devil hopped around and made potholes, and that the, that waterfall was a bunch of witches stirring a brew there. But anyway, it's a wonderful place to go. We rode there. We rode through the, we rode down that tremendous road there. It was really, really gorgeous. So after we're done the Devil's Hop Yard, we made a right on Route 82 and then went down 156 and made a left on Salem Road. Highly recommend going on Salem Road. Salem Road is absolutely gorgeous. It keeps you off Route 82. Route 82 is, it's a state road, and on a hot day, it does get quite hot. It's very hilly, that Route 82, and hot, and narrow shoulder and all that. So if you take Salem Road, you don't have to be on 82 for nearly as long. And it goes from Haddam to Salem. And it's just a spectacular road. It's got a low canopy. It's got beautiful trees. It's got a lovely brook that goes along most of the road. And at the end of the road, when Salem Road ends on Route 82, there's ice cream. So there's an ice cream stand there where you can go. And then we turned left and we went up 82 and we picked up Woodbridge, also known as West Road. And I think we rode 10 miles on that road. And that goes up, 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 up. Very, very beautiful road, but very hilly and mostly uphill. And that goes all the way back to Colchester, where we stopped at Starbucks. So it was a really lovely tribute to my father. I was very blessed to be with some very dear friends to go on this journey. On the way back, we stopped at Starbucks. On the way in, we stopped at Desserts and More, which is a new cafe in Colchester that's not too far from the rail trail. Talk about having good eats off of the rail trail. That's an example of that. So there's an airline trail spur that goes from Colchester and hooks back up to the main airline trail. And at the end of that spur, if you get off of the spur and then you turn right, a couple of buildings down, there's this lovely new cafe called the Desserts and More. And so, cyclists like to eat, and you can pair, having a destination with your cycling. That's always a nice thing to do. So, just want to point out that climbing hills is hard, and we had a little bit back and forth about the climb, which maybe we'll talk about next week, how we become addicted to the climb. But boy, did we do the climb on West Road. And climbing hills is something that builds character. It really does. Today I was going to do hill repeats, but I decided that the roads were too wet and I really wanted to do the hill repeats on dry roads. So I chose to do my workout indoors today. But I'll probably do my hill repeats tomorrow. And I do hill repeats to help me get better at climbing. And, you can do different kinds of hill repeats where you pick a short steep hill or short less steep hill, and you do a whole bunch of hill repeats where you go up the hill and go back down, go up the hill and go back down. My task at the moment is I have to climb a hill for 5 minutes and then rest for 10. So you get a lot of benefit from the long rest. And so I have to find a long hill that I have to climb steady for 5 minutes. So right now I'm going to use the one in Chaplin, and there's a couple. Chaplin is a good place to find these hills. Chaplin and Chaplin. That's where there's some nice hills there on nice quiet roads where I don't have to. There's not too many cars. So. Anyway, so you have been listening to Bicycle Talk here on 91.7 WHUS. I have been here myself. It was really lovely to be talking with Sylvia Onpu today, and we'll remind you that 1 o'clock p.m. you can attend the Rolling Museum, which will be at Bolton Notch. And for information, you can go to the Rolling Museum. You can look at the Rolling Museum. You can also look at the Bike Walk Bolton website for more information. But 1 o'clock at Bolton Notch, and there will be cones to get you there and to direct you to that parking lot. So, and bring the family, bring your kids, bring bicycle helmets, and enjoy. And then make sure you go in there and sign up, and then you can go and participate in this lovely event. All right, so you've been listening to Bicycle Talk. It's a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news and cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you'd like, you can send an email to Ron, to Pedlin Ron, at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. That's bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Or visit Bicycle Talk on Facebook. And remember, you can hear the podcast of this show and others at whus.org and also at iTunes. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your back. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores.